Pete Stark did what? Oh, my God. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Hang out with us for a while this evening, and before the night is over, I will have you in the same emotional state that I find myself in 99% of the time, which is borderline hysteria. The tragedy in Southern California continues to rage. These photographs, these videos, I should say, coming in from the various news organizations are just astonishing. And the people gathered in Qualcomm Stadium, the refugees, 10, 15,000 of them, you can't help but compare those scenes to the scenes that occurred in New Orleans at the Dome. Andre writes, Mike, hearing last night's podcast about Schwarzenegger asking for National Guard assistance and the Bush administration, quote, working on it, unquote. This all began with 9/11. I was there. There was no one to come to New York City's aid. No army, no air force, nothing. No one for several days. Then we had Katrina. And now wildfires in California and no one around. It's more of the same. You've got to appreciate the effort of these firefighters. It's just astonishing. And I believe that there is some movement. Is there some movement yet about National Guard troops? I don't know.
One difference between this tragedy and Katrina is that you can bet Tom DeLay is not wandering around any of those shelters asking the people if it's like camp.
Yeah, that's true. The website, democracyforamerica.com, they have a problem, sorta. I wouldn't exactly label it a problem, but they have sent out an email today, this afternoon, to all of their contacts, subscribers, which includes moi. And the problem is, well, I'll let them explain it. Here's what they say. Dear supporter. That would be me. Dear supporter, our challenge to Al Gore, jump in or drop out. And they've got that in boldface. And they go on to say, something surprising is happening at Democracy for America. Former Vice President Al Gore is leading the race for the DFA presidential endorsement as a write-in candidate. Voting is still open until November 5th at midnight, and there's plenty of time for any candidate to win. All your candidate needs is your vote right now. And let me aside, yeah, you should go vote. democracyforamerica.com/pulse poll. And the email to Dear Supporter goes on. Despite the fact that Al Gore has not announced that he will run and wasn't even included in the endorsement poll, DFA members have seized the power and written him in. With 65,000 votes cast so far, the time has come for Vice President Gore to make a decision. The clock is ticking. We are deep into the 11th hour. There are fewer than 90 days until the first votes are cast, and filing deadlines to be on the ballot start closing in just days. You deserve to know, is Al Gore in or out? And then it plugs the vote again, democracyforamerica.com/pulse poll, and then it says the following. Of course, this is not an ordinary endorsement poll. All voters are asked for their top three choices, and in the end, boldface, only an announced candidate can win the DFA endorsement. That means this will be the first poll in the nation that can accurately report both the remarkable support Al Gore has in the progressive grassroots and which announced candidates earn that support if he never jumps in. When we announce the results on November 6, 1 year from Election Day, everyone will be watching. Don't keep us waiting, Mr. Gore. It's time for an answer. That's signed by the executive director of Democrats or democracyforamerica.com. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. What a political tsunami would result from Al Gore making an announcement, oh, I don't know what, tomorrow? That said simply, after considering everything I've considered with my family and yada, 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 I will be a candidate for the Democratic nomination for president. Wouldn't that just, I mean, I think that sort of a wave would wash coast to coast, border to border. It would drive the right-wing crazies in media totally out of their skulls. There would be just mass hysteria from the comedian Rush Limbaugh, as he is called by Keith Olbermann. I call him the pig man. All the way to the lesser lights like Sean Hannity and Hugh Hewitt and the insane person out on the West Coast, Michael Savage. They would, they would just go berserk. Absolutely berserk. It would be so much fun. They would start gnawing on their own feet just to somehow absorb the incredibly furious energy that would just fire their synapses like the control panel was in hell. It would be worth seeing, wouldn't it? It'd be worth listening to. Plus all the so-called mainstream media types from the former German U-boat commander, Wolf Blitzer, and all the way up to and including Chris Matthews and Bill O and the rest of these thugs, wouldn't they just go insane? It would be total madness. It would be such fun. And we could all forget Colbert's candidacy and the fact that he was on Meet the Press or Face the Nation or one of them, their shows, this past Sunday. But wouldn't that be something? Al Gore. And then Maureen Dowd, it would reactivate her career, which really, if you've been reading Maureen Dowd lately, with one or two notable exceptions, her column is really going into the crapper. Her quality of writing is just disappearing. Gail Collins, I think, is going to take over the Maureen Dowd chair at the New York Times. But Maureen Dowd is just losing it. This would activate her career. She could go back to, as she did 8 years ago, writing about his choice of colors and perpetuating the lies that he said he invented the Internet. Wouldn't that be fun for Maureen Dowd? Huh? Can you imagine how the right-wingers would go berserk? Now, that would not be the intent of his announcement. His intent would be to try to rescue this country. Hillary Clinton, trust me on this, truth seeker, is not going to do that. As a matter of fact, regarding Hillary, where is it? Oh, yeah, in an interview with Michael Tomasky for The Guardian Unlimited of the UK, Hillary Clinton said that as president, she would launch a policy review with an eye toward giving up some of the executive powers accumulated by Bush. She said, quote, "I think I'm going to have to review everything they've done because I've been on the receiving end of that," she said, whatever the hell that means. Speaking by telephone from Las Vegas with Michael Tomasky in Washington, D.C. of The Guardian Unlimited, she would not say how she would vote on the confirmation of Michael Mukasey, the thug that has been nominated to succeed Alberto Gonzalez. But she said his views on executive power and interrogation were a concern to her. A concern. Holy Jesus. So it's not going to be Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton will review, maybe, perhaps, at some point, when she can, get around to it. Are you kidding? What politician would not like to be a dictator? There's a handful. I don't think Dennis Kucinich would. I don't think Al Gore would. I don't think Barbara Lee would. I don't think but I will guarantee you that Hillary Clinton would. It's just there's some sort of genetic predisposition to that. And how do I know that? You just look at their voting record. And look at how they've conducted themselves in Washington, either in the executive branch, as Hillary was, or in the Senate, as she has been, or in comments, in speeches. There's no question here. So Al Gore, I think Al Gore could possibly be like Cincinnatus. You know, laying his plow aside and going to reorder the Roman Empire, and when he is finished, go back to being a farmer. I don't know. What do you think? Huh? Stay with us. We have much more to cover here. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Small ass, ready to go. Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
I'm gonna leave the city, got to get away. 21 past the hour. Bill Lockemacher, who is with Sacramento for Democracy, sent this out. He writes, as Southern California goes up in flames, where's the California National Guard? According to CNN, there are only 1,500 California National Guardsmen fighting these fires. Where is the rest of our National Guard? And why are they not helping to fight these fires? Are they in Iraq? If so, how many are still in California? To the best of my knowledge, there are about 20,000 California Army National Guardsmen. When I called their office, I couldn't get a straight answer about how many California Air National Guardsmen there are. I'm not sure why they won't tell me. They wanted to know who I was and why I wanted to know how many there were. Ooh, be careful, Bill. We all know that our guardsmen are in Iraq protecting Halliburton and the multinational oil corporations. And then he suggests a call to Schwarzenegger to bring the guard home. I don't know, but if that's true, if there are 20,000 California National Guardmen, guardsmen in total, and 1,500 are assigned to stopping what has now become the greatest internal refugee, even though it's temporary, and even though I understand these are not poor folk, and that doesn't mean anything. There's still people who are just being wiped out, having their homes destroyed. So let's not even go there about the fact that they're all white or the fact that they're all middle class or upper middle class. Let's just not go there. These are fellow citizens. These are Americans who are trying their damnedest to organize themselves and stave off total tragedy. And according to what I've seen on the network news the past couple of nights, they're doing yeoman's work to do that, and they seem to be succeeding insofar as the emergency measures that are necessary. The situation in New Orleans was entirely different. All along the Gulf Coast was entirely different situation. But what has happened now with over 500,000 people who have been ordered out of their homes, ordered into refugee centers, this has become now the single greatest, since the Civil War, the single greatest forced migration of people within the borders of the United States. That's how bad it is out there. This is from Andre, who saw it on Raw Story. Looks like Raw Story is striking again here. Andre writes, this should be huge. This to me means war crimes. Now, who will bring charges is something else. We all knew Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney took amusement from torture, but here it is writ large. And what he's talking about, Nick Giuliano, writing at Raw Story, has the following. More than 100,000 pages of newly released government documents demonstrate how U.S. military interrogators, quote, abused, tortured, or killed, end quote, scores of prisoners rounded up since September 11, 2001, including some who were not even expected of having terrorist ties. That's according to a just-published book written by two ACLU attorneys. It is titled Administration of Torture, and it details the findings of a years-long investigation and court battle with the Bush crime family that resulted in the release of massive amounts of data on prisoner treatment and the deaths of U.S.-held prisoners. When was it, Kathy? About 2 years ago, when you and I attended a forum here in Atlanta of ACLU attorneys who had the untenable job of trying to represent people in Guantanamo. Remember that? And they said the same thing. They said that if the truth were to come out about where the orders came from for torture, it would lead right into the White House. We were told this a couple of years ago. And of course, I think I went on the air. I was with Air America at that time. I think I went on the air that night and talked about it. A lot of good that did. The two writers say, quote, the documents show unambiguously that this administration has adopted some of the methods of the most tyrannical regimes. Documents from Guantanamo describe prisoners shackled in excruciating stress positions, held in freezing cold cells, forcibly stripped, hooded, terrorized with military dogs, deprived of human contact for months, end quote. Most of the documents on which administration of torture is based were obtained as a result of ongoing legal fights over a Freedom of Information Act request filed in October of 2003 by the ACLU and other human rights and anti-war groups. it goes on, drawing almost exclusively from the documents, the authors say there's a stark contrast between the public statements of Bush and Rumsfeld and the policies those and others in this administration were advocating behind the scenes. President Bush gave, quote, marching orders, end quote, to General Michael Dunleavy, who asked the Pentagon to approve harsher interrogation methods at Guantanamo. The general himself claims in documents reported in the book. Bush himself gave the orders. The two authors write, it is imperative that senior officials who authorized, endorsed, or tolerated the abuse and torture of prisoners be held accountable, not only as a matter of elemental justice, but to ensure that the same crimes are not perpetrated again. These are war crimes. These are war crimes perpetrated by George W. Bush. And here you have a military member, a general, declaring such, and here's the evidence in these documents that somehow these two ACLU attorneys got through FOIA request. And Nancy Pelosi still says that this filthy, wasting human being is not impeachable? Oh, my God.
Nothing left standing, nothing moving, nothing to say. They drove the prisoners east to the boats for their hanging from the gallows overlooking Guantanamo Bay. He's a cowboy president, but he wears a black hat.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-five before the hour, Associated Press is now reporting just under a million residents of California have been evacuated, 910,000. And so far, if I'm not mistaken, there have been two deaths. And not to minimize, but fewer than a dozen injuries. 910,000 people. My God. A third of San Diego County, 350,000 homes evacuated. AJ, the Music Factory, is calling from the Catskills, New York. AJ, welcome to the program.
Hey, handsome. How are you tonight?
Fair to partly cloudy. How about you?
Not too bad. Good evening to you and the whole Malloy family. And my new rallying cry, better dead than red.
Better dead than red. That has a familiar ring to it.
I've
heard it before.
Yep. In fact, it's gotten me thinking about, you know, because I thought about red states and I thought better dead than red. And then I thought, yeah, you know, maybe we should go a step further and revise HUAC. Because what could be more un-American? I don't believe there's such a thing as un-American. If you can't be un-Spanish and un-Swiss and un-German, you can't be un-American. I think it's something that the jingoists made up. But
yeah, that's definitely a right-wing phrase.
Concept. Yeah, but as long as we're in that ballpark, absolutely. Let's start another House on American Activities Committee, and let's get some of these bastards up on charges and investigate them, because if there is such a thing as un-Americanism, they have certainly exceeded it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is almost impossible to keep score any longer of the gutting of the Constitution that Hillary Clinton says when she becomes president she will review. The extent to which, and perhaps maybe we'll give up a few, some, not all, but, you know, blink, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, of those powers accumulated by Bush. It's astonishing to try to even keep track of this stuff.
No, and that sort of contributes to what I was talking to my wife about tonight, which is that I told her I'm getting that 9/11 feeling again. You know, after 9/11, you sort of had an inexplicable haze that you were walking through all the time, and it just never lifted. I'm sort of starting to get that feeling again. And even when the sun is bright and clear, there's a film on everything, and it's this regime. And what I wanted to say quickly tonight was that, you know, my heart goes out to the people of California, and far be it from me to politicize a tragedy, but if I could throw my voice out to the few people who are listening in California and aren't sort of preoccupied with something else tonight, that, you know, they're going to try and, I heard Chertoff tonight say that they're not going to make Katrina mistakes, and they're going to send the president over there, at, you know, 5 minutes after he said it was premature to go. Then he must have taken a poll and found out that he needed to go. Don't listen to these people. Let's, you know, for once, let's learn from Katrina and Kansas and Minnesota. In 8 years, these people have never once handled a calamity in the correct manner.
No, they do it in the manner that Naomi Klein laid out in her book Disaster Capitalism, where she talks about the only thing that motivates these rat bastards is where they see they can make money on other people's tragedy.
Yep, yep. And so if the people of California, the people of San Diego, could sort of preemptively, instead of in 6 months looking back on the tragedy and saying, oh, they did it again, they suckered us in again, and we said, you know, we accepted their help and their kind words and the president's folksiness and all this kind of jazz, and son of a gun, they took us in again, to tonight understand completely that they will lie and cheat and steal and opportunize this for the election season. They will do everything they possibly can to turn it into their advantage, not to the advantage of the people of California. And one side note, you know, I've been listening to the show and finding out that they're about to turn the San Diego station into a sports station. Well, you know what? Shame on you. If this isn't a demonstration that you don't need another sports station tonight, you need something that informs the public with truth and honesty and frankness and the facts, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's a clear channel station, and I can remember reading about some comment made by some commentator when Poland was invaded in 1939 and thus began World War II. That phrase, the lights going out, tonight the lights are going out all over Europe, as everything prepared for war, and it's a terrible, terrible, terrible analogy. But every time I hear of another Clear Channel radio station that has been doing progressive talk being turned off by the corporate masters and replaced by music or oldies or sports talk, I think I can't help but think, yeah, another light is blinking off.
Yep.
In what is desperately needed as political discourse in this country from the progressive side.
Yep.
And it's a shame, but until either deconsolidation, whatever the hell it takes, it's not going to stop. There is a move. We all know this. Jesus Christ, who among us don't understand that there's a move to have one point of view out there for people to digest? And,
yeah,
and that's the corporate supporting point of view. And I don't care if the corporation is Bell and Howell or Boeing or McDonald's. It doesn't make any difference. A corporate point of view, and there is no room in that for progressive talk. So
yeah,
no matter how much people want to hang on to their progressive radio station, whether it's in Austin, Texas, for Christ's sake, that was just closed down, or San Diego, which is coming on November 1st. It doesn't matter. It's
shocking.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The voice that will be heard in this country, coast to coast, border to border, is the voice of Rush Limbaugh. Period. End of story.
Yeah. Well, that's why I would just love to see the people of San Diego just, you know, rise up. And first of all, keep that station, because it's not about progressivism. It's about honesty, or as
yeah,
Bill Maher calls it, rationalism, you know, and kick these bastards out of California. You know, send them home. They are going to steal from you your spirit and your money and your time and your energy and everything that is good. And they are going to leave you with a skeleton of San Diego. And I just, my heart goes out to them as these specters descend upon San Diego tonight. I really hope that something can be done. So, again, Mike, better dead than red.
You certainly gets my vote. Thanks,
and,
AJ.
And listen, thanks for your good work, as always, huh?
All right, thanks, AJ.
Peace.
You too. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Take care. A film on everything. Yeah, I know that feeling. I haven't been able to get over it. I've been able to submerge it a bit, and I guess that's what AJ's talking about. But, you know, you look around, you see a film on everything. Starting with September 11, 2001, yeah, for sure. But maybe, you know, 7-8 months prior to that, when it became clear that George W. Bush was in fact going to be the president of the United States. Oh, my God. Yeah, the people who I heard tonight several times that FEMA is going to send its vampires and ghouls and flesh eaters into San Diego County, into Southern California, to help the citizens there. And so far, the people of San Diego, as horrifying as this is, the people of Southern California and San Diego County, from what I can see, and again, I'm not there. We were just there a week ago. I was there 3 weeks ago. It's heartbreaking to me in a very remote way. I'm not there. I don't have roots there. I understand. I'm not trying to be cavalier or flip about this, but it's, I was in San Diego long enough to see what a beautiful city it was, as everything around it. How clean it was, how just everything about it. And, I watch these images on television, I think, holy God. And I just, I can't help but wonder when I see this. I just wonder, this is totally taken away from all the newscasts, everything. Television being the voracious image devourer or demander that it is, goes for huge fires and floods and disasters like a duck on a June bug. That's what, Charlie Gibson on ABC Tonight opened up his news program. He's in a helicopter. Please. So the images were pretty powerful, but the anchor, the ABC anchor, has to do that? Of course. It's being manipulated. We're all being manipulated. We are being shifted, refocused, not to minimize what's going on in California at all. But, the thought hit me today. God help me for this, or somebody help me. But the thought hit me today. All those fires, I had a thought. What the hell is causing the fires? They're all over the place. There are 40, 50, 60, 100, 150 fires. Boom, 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 boom. What's causing that? They're not having electrical storms there. They're not having any storms at all. What's causing it? And then the answer popped into my head as easily as the answer about torture. It's being, the fires are being set. The fires are being set by elements in the Bush crime family. It's a great distraction. It's a wonderful distraction. And then I thought to myself, Jesus, God, did you really just have that thought? And the answer came back, yeah, loud and effing clear.
Everyone has a system, but they can't seem to win. Even Bob Geldof looks alarmingly thin. I got to get on that shuttle, get me out of this place. But there's going to be warfare up there in outer space. It's been a hard day on the planet. How much is it all worth? It's getting harder to understand it. Things are tough all over on Earth.
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. John writes, recall Naomi Klein's new book, Disaster Capitalism, in which she suggests that people are only motivated to act in response to disasters. The neocon fascists have a number of contingency plans for various disasters. Grabbing power after 9/11, ethnic cleansing of New Orleans after Katrina, etc. Just now on CBS News, the fire chief of Orange County angrily asserted that there is no question that if they had aircraft resources, they could have fought the Orange County fire. And where are the aircraft resources? This is the time, John writes, to exert maximum pressure on the governor. He was talking on television about praying. It would make more sense to get our guardsmen back. Yeah, and speaking of praying, this is from GM in Oregon. This is from a couple of weeks ago, really. A major defense contractor for the military, a major defense contractor for the U.S. military and Homeland Security, claims that the United States is morally obliged to maintain a permanent presence in Iraq for the sake of God. Charles Patrikoff Sr., who is the contract manager for Ball Aerospace and Technologies Corporation, said, quote, "If we stay and rebuild Iraq, we will demonstrate to the world that we remain the best force for good in the world. More importantly, we as Christians can better influence that region for the kingdom of God." End quote. Patrikoff pointed out that the American Civil War was more unpopular than the current war in Iraq, and 630,000 men died during the fight to end slavery and gain liberty for African Americans. I guess what he's proposing there is that we should shut up. We've only lost, we haven't even hit 4,000 yet. And 610,000, is that what he's saying? I think so. He goes on to say, quote, "Look at how we helped rebuild Germany and Japan after World War II. Somebody ought to point out to this dumb bastard that Germany and, oh, never mind. Oh, why bother? He goes on to say, "Because of the good we did there and of the good we are doing in Iraq, I don't believe we should ever leave Iraq." End quote. Now, Ball Aerospace is based in Boulder, by God, Colorado, manufactures spacecraft, lasers, tactical instruments and sensors, and other components. It is part of the team that supports the missile defense system initiated by George W. Bush. The defense contractor reported sales in 2006 of $6.6 billion and employs 15,500 people. So let's go, let's just go kill Iraqis for the glorification of God. Some of you people think I'm just absolutely insane when I say that these Christian nutballs really want to see the bodies stacked as high as possible as kind of a huge carrot in a trap to bring their Redeemer back. And then you read something like that. The Pete Stark situation, it just gave me a stomachache today. The House Democrats, well, they did, in a sense, prevent John Boehner, the Republican pissant from Ohio, from forcing a vote today on, he had a resolution that was going to officially reprimand Pete Stark for suggesting last week that our soldiers in Iraq, quote, get their heads blown off for the president's amusement, end quote. Yeah, Boehner had a resolution. Well, the Democrats voted to table the measure shortly after Boehner offered it, which prevented members of the House from having to cast a vote to protect. It prevented Democrats from having to cast a vote to protect the California liberal. The vote was 196 to 173. Yeah, I know. We'll get to that part in a second. Boehner and his Republican colleagues were hoping to reignite media coverage of Stark's remarks. After the vote, Stark apologized to the House and to the pig in the White House. He apologized. He said on the House floor, and he was choking up and starting to cry when he said, "I want to apologize to my colleagues, many of whom I have offended. I hope that with this apology, I will become as insignificant as I should be, and that we can return to the issues that do divide us, but that we can resolve in a better fashion," end quote. Oh, my God. Once again, Nancy Pelosi, damn you. Damn you for your cowardice. Damn you for your willingness to work with Republican thugs. And apparently, Al Babe writes to me, "It looks like Rahm Emanuel or another DLC flunky told Stark that if he didn't apologize, the censure would stick. The polls I've read have no less than 80% of the 80% of the public saying Stark should not apologize. Nice to know that we have the Democrats in Congress fighting for us all. Not a single Republican voted to table the resolution. Of course not. Republicans are zombies. When their leader, whoever their leader happens to be, says do it, every one of these filthy pigs line up and they do it. It doesn't matter. I wish Boehner or Cheney or Limbaugh would order these sons of bitches to commit mass suicide. Because they would. They would. Every single, and the NRA would provide the handguns. The NRA lobbyists would say, okay, there we go. We've been waiting for that one. All right, everybody line up. Come over here. Here we got Glock 9s, we got 38 cals, come on over here. All right, everybody got your guns? And then on a prearranged signal, Limbaugh or Boehner or Cheney or somebody in the Republican leadership would say, okay, ready? Aim! Fire! And there would be mass suicide, and the country would heave a deep sigh of gratitude. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. So the Pete Stark censure vote, there was a motion that it never got to the censure vote. There was a vote to table the measure, which that vote passed 196 to 173. So he was never censured for speaking the truth. That's what a nest of filthy horrors the U.S. House has become. I mean, it really has. There are some glaring exceptions, of course, but for the most part, it is nothing. It is a perverted swamp of lobbyist-paid whores who work for corporate America and are no more interested in the American people in any respect than I don't know, some tribe of Siberians living above the Arctic Circle who have never heard of us. It's astonishing. So this attempt to reignite the Pete Stark issue by these filthy Republicans kind of died with the vote. But then Pete Stark stood there and apologized. Rather than... I don't get it. Anyway, I got an email from Al Babe who said you might be interested in knowing that 5 Democrats voted with the Republicans on condemning Stark, and another 8 voted present, refusing to come to Stark's defense. You can probably guess the names of the disgraceful 13 Democrats, but just in case, here are the 5 who voted, as they often do with the Republicans. Jason Altmaier of Pennsylvania, Chris Carney of Pennsylvania, Joe Donnelly of Indiana, Brad Ellsworth of Indiana, and Heath Shuler of North Carolina. And then the email goes on, the 5 worst freshmen, none of whom have earned support from Democrats for re-election. These are the guys, the 5 I just mentioned, who consistently support the Bush regime and agenda inside the Democratic caucus. The 8 who insultingly voted present are 6 Bush Democrats and 2 progressives, Dave Lobsack of Iowa, and Emmanuel Cleaver of Missouri, who probably had their own crazy reasons for their bizarre votes, although in the context of their entire records, but in the context of their entire records, should just get a roll of the eyes and a pass on this. Anyway, here are the other six. Dan Boren of Oklahoma, Lincoln Davis of Tennessee, Barron Hill of Indiana, Tim Mahoney of Florida, Charlie Melancon of Louisiana, and Dennis Moore of Kansas. Those are the ones who are just cowards down to their rotten souls. They voted present. Oh, you evil, weaselly, Democratic little bastards. And the five, at least the five who voted with the Republicans, at least they come out and say, look, I am a traitor to the Democratic Party. I'm a slime ball, filthy traitor. And I'll go on record letting everyone in my party know I'm a slime ball, filthy traitor. These other eight are just stinking cowards. The email is from Albay, but it quotes from Fire Dog Lake. It goes on to say, a Fire Dog Lake reader called Stark's office to complain about the apology. And this was the answer. The person answering the phone told me that Stark had no choice. Stark was told before the vote was taken that should he not apologize, the vote to censure would pass. According to his office, that is the only reason he apologized. End quote. Anyone want to guess who forced one of the best congressmen in America to humiliate himself and put himself on a level with someone like Mean Gene Schmidt? Was it Rahm Emanuel, Henny Stoyer, Madam Off the Table herself? And then this email went to Pelosi from someone named Jane and her last name. And it says, with all the outrages perpetuated by this administration, with the abject failure of the House under your leadership to do anything that they were elected to do, I guess we'll have to say that this is your crowning achievement, forcing Pete Stark to his knees and making him grovel before this completely lawless, warmongering, and inhumane administration. For the record, I am offended. And according to the website Progressive Punch, or the blog site Progressive Punch, of the 20 House Democrats who vote with the Bush administration most frequently in these tough roll call votes, 10 are freshmen recruited by Rahm Emanuel. Now, if you'll remember, after the last election, I had Shelley Drobny on this program, who lives in Chicago and knows Rahm Emanuel. And Shelley Drobny said on this program that it was very clear to him that Rahm Emanuel is one of the worst things to ever happen to the Democratic Party. Well, there's your proof. A couple of emails on Stark. This is from Tom in West Des Moines, Iowa. Mike, I and my family, going back generations, have been faithfully affiliated with the Democratic Party as voters and activists. I've always believed firmly that the Democrats stood for all the things that were good and what mattered in this country. I always viewed conservatives and Republicans as nothing more than the bile of the nation and only in Congress to give the Democrats acid reflux. But over the years, it seemed like the Tums doesn't work anymore. I was just about to totally give up, and then I saw Congressman Stark deliver his speech the other day, and suddenly I felt proud to be a Democrat again. I thought, finally, the old school warriors have had enough. And they're going to slap the Republicans in their waste of a president by calling them out for their lies and for their asinine priorities. Man, was that short-lived. Today, upon waking, I saw that a vote to censure Congressman Stark came up and five Democrats signed on to it, which in turn caused him to apologize for telling the truth. What in the hell is that about, Mike? The last report I saw was that the offices of Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi were getting calls that were 4-1 in favor of Pete Stark's comments. The Democrats have totally lost their way. They are not the Democratic Party that my parents taught me about. They have become weak, spineless fools that seem to be nothing but shills for the Republicans. And Mike, I'm done. As of tomorrow morning, I'm changing my 26-year affiliation from Democrat to Independent. And I will work harder than I ever worked for the Democrats to not only get rid of these damned Republicans, but also the Democrats that need to be purged as well. Tom in West Des Moines. And then this very quickly from Brooke. Dear Mike, can you believe Representative Stark? My stomach turned as I saw him standing in front of Congress apologizing for what he said, like a dog begging for forgiveness. Where's the passion? This nation has lost its passion. And by the way, Brooke writes, isn't it funny how Bush, Rice, FEMA, and every other heartless shell that works for this government are running down to Southern California? Are these people's lives more important than those who live in New Orleans? They do live in nicer houses, and I think Orange County does vote Republican. Maybe that explains it. Brooke, P.S., $330 million a day spent in Iraq, today. Oh, my God. Let's take a call here. William is calling from Hollywood, California, listening via the Internet. William, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, William.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on two things. This, you know, the Stark, for one thing. I could clearly see that the man was forced to apologize.
Yeah.
And he may have been more metaphoric in his comments, but his comments were the truth, no matter how he presented them. And for me, and I hope for a lot of other people, they're going to hang on to the fact that he actually did that and ignore what the media have said and what the Senate is, or the Congress has done today,
mm-hmm.
you know, to threaten to censor him and then make him apologize. I mean, it's clear he didn't want to apologize.
Right.
And the other thing you mentioned earlier was the fires in California here and your comment, you know, you had this kind of a reaction that there was the thought struck you that there's something fishy about this, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my thought. I mean, Saturday the winds kicked up here, and Sunday morning I wake up to every news show there was talking about these fires, and it seemed to start out in Malibu. Next thing you hear, it's in San Diego. They're pretty far apart.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Let me put you on hold for a second, William. We'll come back after the break. That's the thing that just... I'm sorry, my mind has turned into a cesspool for conspiracy theories because of what these rat bastards have proved they're capable of doing over the past 7.5 years. But I saw those fires all over Southern California, and what caused them?
Yes, you do.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
This ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the game.
21 past the hour, we're talking with William in Hollywood, California. All right, William, where were we?
We were talking about the fire spreading from Malibu to San Diego. And, you know, I kind of go along with what you're saying. I'm not going to say a lot about it because I don't want to be disappeared, but I kind of, you know, wonder, now Bush is going to come out here Thursday, from what I've heard. And it is all sorts of thoughts go through my mind as why he is actually coming out here. Yeah. I mean, they certainly don't need the help because they're doing quite well with the disaster that it is, you know, I mean, certainly we could use some help, but not from that area. And
well, you don't get help from Bush.
No. That's why I question why he's even coming out here.
For the photo op, so he can stand there and convince the base of the Republican Party, the 22% of America that still supports his presidency, that he's a compassionate conservative who is out there because... well, it's the Christian thing to do, and let's all pray for these. And aren't these firefighters wonderful out here? And thank God for Governor Schwarzenegger. And it's a beautiful day, and we will all rise from the ashes of this terrible. That's the reason he's going. That kind of crap.
Yes, sure that's a good part of it. I had other thoughts in my head, but, you know, I'm not going to express that.
All right. Well, William, thanks, man. Thanks for checking in, okay?
Nice talking to you, Mike.
All right. Take care. Take care. I don't like my mind all of a sudden to be a repository for what we all refer to as tinfoil hat conspiracy theories, like who started the fires. I don't like that. But where did it come from? You know, I never was a conspiracy theorist. For 40 years, I've never believed that Lee Harvey Oswald killed John Kennedy, but that had nothing to do with conspiracy. That just had to do with common sense. You know, I didn't think that Nostradamus predicted it and the Illuminati worked it out and some cabal of wild-eyed Jews working with the Cuban mafia decided to kill Kennedy. You know, and I've seen theories that wild on the internet, or worse. But we have an administration that conspired to lie us into a war, that has turned this country into a nation that tortures, that conspired to depopulate New Orleans after this horrific event occurred of the floods. It wasn't the hurricane. The hurricane, the people of New Orleans could have survived. It was the, oh my goodness, the levees didn't hold. How did that happen? And now we have this. And I sit here and think, nah, come on, Malloy. You really are going over the edge here in your dotage. And then I think to myself, yeah, but why am I? Why do I have the thought, when I look at the animation put up there by CNN or ABC or CBS or whoever it is, of how these forest fires are just, they look like the result of artillery fire or carpet bombing. You know, boom, 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 boom. Each discrete fire. This is not a big roaring fire coming in out of the mountains. This is scores, dozens of fires all over the place. So I guess I'm not, it's not too cool, right, to start thinking conspiracy theories, or could they have been set? Leslie writes, in the subject line, I hope you're wrong, Mike. She writes, the thought you stated of those fires possibly being set intentionally as a weapon of mass distraction is absolutely horrifying. But with what has been going on the past 8 years under this administration, along with this giant blur of constant terror threats and natural and man-made war disasters, who knows? Anything is possible, I guess. But I hope you're wrong. It's a horrible thought. I really do think these fires are a result of global warming amid and the high temperature changes combined with the dryness of parts of the California wildbrush, alfalfa fields, etc. And the Santa Ana winds aren't helping. They're adding to it. And this administration thinks global warming is some joke that needs not be addressed. Shame on them for that. People need to wake up before things really get bad. But you know what, Mike? It might have to get really bad before anything changes. Another Great Depression, maybe? Another World War III? Is this what it takes for change? Scary thoughts. Leslie. Let's attribute the fires to natural disaster and the inclination of people to build houses in areas where arguably houses should not be built. I guess that's the most that's the Occam's razor way to look at this. All things being equal, the simplest explanation is usually the correct one. But all of that is just falls to the wayside when you consider the type of leadership we've had in this country for almost 7 years. I mean, it really, really does. This is Nova M Radio.
Blowing in the wind. listen, how many times must a man look up?
Nighty night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
How many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry?
It's about 25 before the hour.
How many deaths?
Regarding Pete Stark's apology, William writes in, somehow I had the same feeling as I had when the guy was shot in the face by Cheney, then apologized for his face getting in the way. I think there was a great deal of pressure on Stark, including some from the right-wing bastards. Yeah, Pete Stark was the one who came out, when was it, a few weeks ago, and declared that he is a non-theist. He didn't go so far as to declare his atheism, I don't think, but he was the first avowed non-theistic member of, I guess, in the entire history of that august body of thugs. Pete Stark was the first one to come out and say, you know, I don't believe in any religious philosophy. I don't believe in God. I don't think he said it that directly. But it was Pete Stark. Isn't it amazing how just a few weeks later this happens, huh? We wanted to mention, this was in the, this is from the spokesmanreview.com in Spokane, Washington, U.S. Inspector General. And I don't know who that is. Isn't that a Bush thug? But the U.S. Inspector General may recommend criminal prosecution of Alberto Gonzalez, possibly as early as next month. That's according to the fired former U.S. Attorney for Western Washington. He told a Spokane audience a couple of days ago. There's an investigation going on. I wonder if the same kind of investigation to find out about the leak on Valerie Plame. John McKay, who was the federal prosecutor who refused to open a federal investigation into these cheesy-ass voter fraud allegations in Governor Chris Gregory's victory over the Republican Dino Rossi in 2004, that was probably the reason he was fired. McKay was speaking to the Federal Bar Association. He was appointed by Bush in October 2001 to be the top law enforcement to the top law enforcement job in Western Washington. And McKay said he believes that he and seven other U.S. attorneys were fired last December by Gonzalez for political reasons, probably with Karl Rove pulling the strings, yada, yada, yada. McKay said he was summoned to D.C. in June and questioned for 8 hours about possible reasons for his firing by investigators with the Office of Inspector General, who will forward their final report to Congress. McKay said, my best guess is it will be released sometime next month, the results of this investigation. Oh, I'm sure it's going to be a doozy. It's probably just like the 9/11 Commission investigation, huh? It's probably like the Katrina Investigation Commission, huh? It's probably like the Iraq Study Group Investigation Commission, huh? You think? McKay said Gonzalez lied about reasons for the firings when questioned under oath in July by the Senate Judiciary Committee and now has hired a lawyer. Gonzalez has. And is refusing to answer questions from the inspector general. Why should he? He's a Bush murderer. He's a torture son of a bitch. He's a Republican. He's a conservative in the Bush crime family. He believes in the redemptive power of Christianity. Why should he answer questions from the inspector general about his lies, his deceptions, and his criminality? Why? He's protected by George Bush and Jesus. In his mind. McKay, the fired former U.S. attorney for Western Washington, McKay told the packed conference room, which included federal prosecutors and judges, quote, when it lands, the report, it is going to be an extremely negative report on Bush's Justice Department, end quote. And then he added, there was a conspiracy to politicize the Justice Department, and they did not get away with it, end quote. Really? Okay. Well, if I set out to be a mass murderer and I only kill three people, of what? Attorney McKay, I'm not a mass killer. I think they succeeded quite well. McKay is now a law professor at Savvy University. And he says he thinks his counterparts, David Iglesias, fired in New Mexico, and Carol Lamb, fired in San Diego, also were targeted for political reasons. Anyway, you know what's going to happen to that investigation. You know as well as I do. It's going to come to nothing. Absolutely nothing. There will be some weasel words about, well, the commission finds or the investigation finds that Attorney General Gonzalez could have acted in a more, no pun, judicious manner in his investigations, ordered investigations of voter fraud in different Republican districts. But the commission or the investigation finds no obvious or direct criminal activity on the part of the attorney general. The investigation recommends a reprimand and a letter to go into his file that says he was a bad boy and has to stand in the corner for at least the next five Saturdays. And then it's okay. What do you want to bet? You're such a cynic, Malloy. You're such a cynic. What is it about? We're going to come to your phone calls in a minute. What is it about this black hole of insanity that is Bob Jones University over here in South Carolina? I have been on their campus one time, and it gave me the absolute willies. I've never been someplace that just reeked of negativity and Stepford students and strangeness and cult. I mean, occult stuff. This is like L. Ron Hubbard. This is like Scientology. This place is bizarre. But Bob Jones III and the university's dean, Robert Taylor, have endorsed Mitt Romney for president. That's according to a column in today's USA Today. The writer asks how far Romney is willing to go to whore himself into getting Republican primary voters, the core, the real flesh eaters, the devourers of the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about communion. I mean the Jew haters, the real Nazi bastards. How far is Romney willing to go? Not only does Bob Jones III and this entire filthy imitation university have a history of racist, homophobic, anti-Catholic, and anti-Mormon rhetoric and policies, but Jones himself blasted Romney's faith, calling it, quote, an erroneous religion, end quote. And on top of that, Romney goes in there and turns himself into a 25-cent street whore, no offense to sex workers, in order to get an endorsement of some evil demon like Bob Jones III. Romney is there anything Romney won't do? Pay attention to this, because imagine what he would do if he somehow got elected president. Romney ignores the anti-Mormon rhetoric. I mean, it's astonishing. And goes after the endorsement the way a street whore goes after a car stopped at a red light, no offense to sex workers. It's unbelievable. The writer, who wrote this? The columnist, Dwayne Wickham, writing in USA Today, asked, what else is he willing to compromise to become president? He goes on to say, in announcing his support of Romney's presidential effort, Jones denigrated the Mormon religion by saying, as a Christian, I am completely opposed to the doctrines of Mormonism. He said that last week, Bob Jones III. He told the Greenville News in South Carolina. And the columnist at USA Today said it's clear he's not going to defend his religion, at least not when a political endorsement he wants hangs in the balance, and that worries me. The knock against Romney has been that he's quick to flip-flop. He's so quick to flip-flop on issues and say anything to become this nation's next president. What bothers me, the writer says, are not the allegations of his shifting positions on issues such as abortion and same-sex marriage, but his acceptance of a political endorsement from someone who trashes his religion. What else is he willing to compromise to become president? Is he going to offer up his wife? The columnist didn't say that. I'm asking that. Would Romney do that? He's offered up his religion. Would he offer up his wife? You want sex with my wife? Go ahead. Just make sure I get your endorsement. My God, or his God. I mean, hasn't he just turned around and faced his Redeemer and said, listen, Jesus, stand aside. I need Bob Jones's endorsement. And to all the prophets and angels and Moroni and all you people who put together the Mormon, the Book of Mormon, you all piss off. I need this guy's endorsement. So Jesus, God, Moroni, and the rest of you, sorry, I hope I never have to offer my wife, but I will!
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. Jane in PA writes in about the possible origin of these fires. Anyway, she includes this statement. Dianne Feinstein made the remark today that, quote, now we'll see just how good FEMA is, end quote. Hell, don't we already know that? Katrina? Jane and PA. Yeah, I what is Feinstein talking about? Maybe she means under, what's his name? And Jody writes in, Mike, as a longtime resident of L.A., I'm familiar with our fires. Every year, some or all of them are arson, accidental, or on purpose. Let me see here. There are a lot of crazies out there. As to these fires, the Malibu one was triggered by downed power lines brought on by the extreme winds up to 100 miles an hour in gusts that day. The one that started Sunday afternoon, I think, had three points of ignition, so that was definitely arson. However, think about this. Naomi Klein's recent book talks about disaster capitalism, not as cozy a fit for the wealthier areas of California as it was for New Orleans, but the early fire in San Diego is in the area where Blackwater wants to put their so-called university training camp compound. The locals there have been vigorously fighting. Now the area and the homeowners have been burned out. Coincidence? I've long thought that the main purpose for Bush utilizing the National Guard in Iraq is exactly so they won't be available for local disasters. Toss in some of Bush's executive orders about declaring martial law, etc. That's what's been going through my mind today as I drove home from North Glendale and noticed that the entire sky was covered by smoke. How do we not think these thoughts in the age of Bush? Huh? How do you not think them in the age of Blackwater? How do you not think them when you have a rabid dog like Dick Cheney sitting as Vice President of the United States? How do you not think these thoughts? I'd like to know, because I don't like to think these thoughts. I don't like the discomfort that it causes me to feel, as AJ put it, like there's a film over everything, that no matter how I try to see something, I can't really see it. I can only see the outlines of it, of my government, my constitution, my Bill of Rights, my military, my life. Son of a bitch, I'm tired of this. Aren't you? Just so tired of it. How do you distinguish between the real and the unreal with a group that lies your country into a war. Tell me how you do that. Will one of you right-wing worthless bastards call this program and rationally and... Oh, never mind. I lost my mind there for a second. A right-winger rationally explaining? Forget it. But how do you live in a country? How do you submit to the laws of a country and an administration that you know is lying about everything? How do you do that? Is lying about food safety? Is lying about environmental safety? Is lying about the safety on the job? Is lying about war? Is lying about global climate change? Is lying about everything? How do you submit to that? If you're corporate America that designs the shape of the lies, I guess it's no big deal. But if you're Joe Sixpack like I am, and you're out here just trying to live your goddamn life and raise your children, how do you do it? How do you believe anything that they say? I seriously would like to know. As for me, they'll be giving drinks of ice water in hell. And opening a Dipper Dan franchise. And celebrating how the weather has turned in Hades. On the day I believe anything these pigs say. And yet we've got, so many of us, and I don't necessarily include myself in this group. I think about the 9/11 truth movement that can't get a decent hearing from mainstream media. It's a topic that won't be touched. And even a pronounced, what is he? He says he's not a liberal. I don't know what Bill Maher is. But even somebody who is so willing to criticize every single thing about this filthy regime, let some heckler... Someone heckling a comedian, and the guy is run out, and he's assaulted by Maher and the thugs, the security. Jesus, God! If the subject of 9/11 even comes up that remotely, mainstream media won't touch it. The Daily Show won't touch it. Nobody will touch it. Why? And against that backdrop, and the Iraq War, and the threats of World War III, this rancid son of a bitch in the White House is actually mouthing the words that, well, if you want World War III, just let those filthy Iranians get nuclear capacity. How do you maintain in a world that our world... I don't know. The rest of the world is starting to follow our lead and slide into insanity. And isn't it the height of irony in a world where irony is dead to see the Bush administration telling the Turks not to invade Iraq? Son of a bitch! Don't invade Iraq. Yeah, but you did. That's different. Your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
Like a drunk in a midnight choir,
It's about 7 past the hour. Welcome back. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. Sheila writes in, the Lieutenant Governor of California told Wolf Blitzer flatly today they didn't need Bush coming there. He, the Lieutenant Governor, was pretty stressed out and said all he needed was support, not Bush. Then after someone hissed something at him from the sidelines, he said, well, if he comes, we'll make him welcome, but it just takes too much security. Then Blitzer interrupted him and changed the subject. Ha ha. Yeah, I'm sure. Phone calls. Len is calling from New York City, listening on the Internet. Len, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good, thanks. There's a plane going overhead. Wait 1 second.
Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah, thanks very much. It was a nice long set of holidays, and, you know, got to meet a lot of people, just for your listeners, you know, in the Orthodox synagogue I go to. And surprisingly, more and more people are somewhat disgusted. There was even one guy, I went over to someone's house for a meal, and mm-hmm. his in-laws were there, and somehow 9/11 came up, and he said, you can't talk about it, and, you know, I couldn't talk about it in front of his parents and everyone at the table, but afterwards I asked him, why can't I talk about it? He goes, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but somebody mentioned something, and I started looking online. And I don't know what happened, but we didn't get the story. And just to know that, you know, and then just I think a day or two ago I heard that most people who talk about 9/11 are outside the country. I mean, this has, you know, been investigated by a lot of people all over the world mm-hmm. who, you know, who openly talk about it, and it's only here that people can't talk about it.
Yeah, and that attitude has been set. It was set early on when the people from the Bush administration who would go up to Capitol Hill to brief the House and the Senate would make it very clear that any questioning would constitute support for terrorism. And that, of course, immediately was picked up not just by members of Congress, the House and the Senate, but also by this corrupt media that is supposed to, since it was given First Amendment protection, is supposed to provide us with the information we need to live our lives. And when the media, all media decide, no, that's not something we're going to talk about, that kind of brings it to a dead halt.
Well, you know, that's the reason that I called in tonight, you know, because you were talking about the media, and I still believe there is only one, as far as I've found, fundamental way where we can open up a discussion about what's right and wrong in this country with, as you guys in the business call it, a big enough stick to be heard. And that is with a boycott of ABC and its parent, Disney. More importantly, its parent, Disney. I mean, I told my kids, I have a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old, and we're going down to Florida again for another vacation, and I told them that I can't give Disney my money anymore because, you know, I don't mind the fact that they have Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity on, but I want equal time.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I think, you know, all these people outside the country who are spending more and more of their vacation dollars here because our dollar has become so cheap for them.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people, you know, who are listening to every one of these, you know, who are Democrats could get behind a Disney boycott. You know, I don't know where to start organizing it, but I think a Disney boycott until they, you know, we don't need a law change for a fairness doctrine. We're just going to boycott Disney until they give us some time.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the answer to that would be that Disney theme parks or Disney movies or whatever are so totally unrelated to ABC. Now, you and I know that's not the case, but that's what the story would be. And ABC would say, no, I'm sorry. And besides, you know, who's going to pick on Mickey Mouse? It's just
well, we will, and you know, it relates back. It relates back to what you were saying, which is, you know, the borderline of reality and fantasy that we're dealt with. They are at the forefront of it.
But you know what the problem is? I'd rather pick NBC. The problem with ABC is once you start boycotting Disney World or Disneyland, then you're joining with the fanatics, the Christian terrorists in this country, who boycott Disney because they welcome gay people. So I will not align myself with these right-wing freaks under any circumstances. You know, I'll go out of my way to support Disney in order to work against these Christian right-wingers who say that Disney is a portal to hell because they welcome gay folk.
So is that a serious number of people?
What? Is what a serious number of people?
That actually take that position.
Oh, the entire Christian right in this country, everybody from Dobson to Falwell, well, he's dead, to Robertson, to Hagee, all these right wingers. What? They all see, all these Christian right wingers see any acknowledgement that people can be heterosexual or homosexual, and regardless of their orientation, they might like to take their kids or their nieces and nephews if they don't have kids, or themselves, and go to Disney World, that is some sort of an abomination, that it offends the Christian God. And I realize the Christian God is probably your God, too, so I don't know where you stand on this issue. But I'm just
Disney
saying.
Disney is a lot of fun.
Huh?
Disney is a lot of fun overall.
Right.
I just can't give them my dollars anymore, but I've gone there a number of times. It's a lot of fun, that place.
But Len, the point I'm trying to make is that boycotting Disney puts me on the same side of the fence.
I got what you're saying.
With these Christian right-wingers, and I can't do it. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, that kind of thing.
Let me just leave you with this, with that stark nonsense.
Yeah.
The only thing, I emailed Nancy Pelosi. I said, really, he chose one word incorrectly, you know, for the wide audience. Instead of amusement, he should have used aggrandizement.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That would have been probably more effective. The only problem is nobody would have understood on the right what was meant. I just wonder if Pelosi would have understood, but I just wonder if any right-winger would have understood what the hell he was saying.
Len, I'm the commander guy.
Yeah, I'm the commander guy. I'm the decider. Thanks, Len. I appreciate your call. Thanks for checking in. Ron is calling from Ambler, PA, listening on the Internet. Is it Ambler?
Yeah, it's Ambler, yeah.
Oh, hi, Ron. I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of like make a couple comments around what seemed to be your being confounded about many things, including the Stark thing, but I can't help but get it out of my mind. You know, it's like I don't know how to say it, but are we naive as a people to just sort of assume that things stay the same in a culture where we really don't take what I would say is like personal responsibility, wherein we actually act rather than sort of like just sort of passively sort of read stuff or see stuff on TV. I mean, what do we expect? Are we that naive to assume that people are number one are going to have, you know, tell us the truth?
Right.
The presumption of like someone being truthful in the culture seems to be sort of like up, up in the air. And you know, the thing with Stark, I mean, yeah, like the last caller said, he chose one word off, you know. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I can't help but feeling like we're being duped on a big level. So I suppose it was like the initial reason why I would call, because he said you can't help but feel like you have a tinfoil hat, because, you know, the fires in San Diego or in Southern California may be being set. Well, where does the basis for that lack of
faith,
belief
trust,
in
trust.
The
lack of trust.
The lack of trust in the government.
Sure.
Well, it's because look at the way life is now.
Absolutely.
Every other day there's a controversy. All these people who are in charge of our government, right? I mean, they're being hauled off to jail for this or
well,
that.
Well, not only that, we're getting revelation after revelation, whether it's from Valerie Plame or these two in her book or these two ACLU attorneys in their book, that these rat bastards in the Bush crime family have been lying to us about things like torture, about things like Bush authorizing, which means Cheney authorizing, telling Bush what to say, torture of people. Every single thing that comes from them is a lie. So, yeah, it's very easy to say, I can't believe anything. And then all of a sudden you find yourself questioning why you can't believe anything. I've never in my life felt this way. Maybe I should have about my government. I knew that Nixon was crazy. I knew that Reagan was a warmongering freak. But I always thought that the institution of government, institutions within government, would withstand. And now I don't believe it anymore. We'll be back after the break. Thanks, thanks, Ron. I appreciate you checking in.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
It's 22 past the hour. I got this from Will in Chicago. Some breaking news from the Senate. Just a few minutes ago, Anthony, who called in from Sweden some weeks ago at Democracy Interactive, mentioned the following breaking news story from the Associated Press. We thought we would pass it on. And here's what it is. Senate Democrats tonight, about an hour ago, reversed Bush's cuts to education, health research, and grants to local communities as they get ready for Bush's first ever veto of a regular appropriations bill. By a vote of 75-19. Whoa! Wow! The Senate gave bipartisan approval. Is that veto proof? To a huge health and education spending bill that will likely be the first of the fiscal 2008 spending bills Democrats will ship to the White House to start a veto battle involving the budget for almost every domestic agency. Yada, 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 yada. Dana Perino, too much cappuccino. Perino said, quote, in passing this bill, Democrats in Congress will say that the president doesn't care about children, education, or health research. We've all heard these tired old lines before. The facts demonstrate that the president's strong and consistent commitment to children, education, and health research, and the American people are smart enough to know there's no such thing as a free lunch. She is so bad. Too much cappuccino. Well, we'll probably have some sound for you on that one tomorrow night. But just thought we'd pass it on. Thanks to Will and the folks at Democracy Interactive who live chat this program. And, of course, from Anthony in Sweden. 75-19. Wow. Must be an awful lot of so-called enlightened self-interest in some of that spending so that the senators can go back to their home states and say, hey, I snagged $7 billion over here. You know, frankly, I don't care. You know, pork barrel spending, to me, I don't know who came up with that term. But, you know, spending in your home district, if you're a representative, or in your state, if you're a senator, I've got some problems criticizing that. They tax the hell out of us, so what's the problem with getting some of it back, right? I don't want to get into that. That's too deep a discussion for this hour of the program, this late in the program. Charles is calling from Haiti, Missouri, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Charles.
Hello. At least it's not 3 years this time.
Holding on?
Oh, no. 3 years since the last time I talked to you.
Oh, okay. Welcome to the program, Charles.
Yes, well, as a recovering school teacher, I should probably inform you that part of this is a result of the local Republicans in Southern California voting continuously to not expand their firefighting system.
Really? Is that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ever since, actually, started with Nixon and when Reagan was governor of California, they, they've always, older buildings were shut down and newer ones were put up, but they've never really expanded their firefighting system since the 70s.
Well, you know, I do know that on a federal level, Bush has practically gutted, just almost totally eliminated federal funding for federal firefighting management, or whatever you want to call it, controlled burns, ways to manage these areas where people live. Now, granted, somebody can make a very cogent argument that people shouldn't live in these high-risk areas, but that's kind of a bogus argument, because what have I read? 60% of the population in the United States lives within 30 or 40 miles of coastal property, and we all know that hurricanes and violent storms can come and eat us all up. So as far as on a local level, sure, I can see Republicans in California or in Congress destroying the idea of fire prevention and land management. Why bother? Hey, hold on a second, Frank. I'll put you on hold and come back after the break. We have to take a break here. But again, on a federal level, Bush has gone out of his way to, as far as equipment or training or anything for wildfires? Nah, screw that. I got to give it to my buddies at Halliburton.
Most peculiar, mama. Everybody's smoking, and no one's getting high. Everybody's flying, and never touch the sky. There's UFOs over New York, and I ain't too surprised.
Be left out. Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
Yeah, that's true, and I forgot to say hi to the little sneaks. Hi, sneaks. It's about 25 before the hour. We were talking with Charles in Haiti, Missouri, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Okay, Charles, where were we?
Let's see. We were still talking about the federal cuts on the...
Firefighting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they also cut like two-thirds of the aircraft they need that they use for that, the air support.
Uh-huh.
And all of California's National Guard heavy helicopters that they use for firefighting, you know, they get these big, huge buckets and they stick them in the lakes and then they drop them on the fires, are all over in Iraq and Afghanistan right now.
Yeah, it's just insane. I think I mentioned that... one of the fire chiefs out there, I'm not sure what county or what city, made the comment today about the lack of what you're talking about, the lack of helicopters. Well, he said the lack of aircraft.
Yeah, he said he needed air support for this. And
air support, yeah, and it's just not available. You would think that one of those California defense contractors, one of those California war weapons manufacturers, like Boeing, there are dozens of them out there, if not hundreds, would volunteer some of their aircraft. Well, you know, why not?
Oh, there's no money in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I have found one group that Mitt Romney hasn't gone after yet. He hasn't gone after the snake handlers.
The snake handlers. They are automatically included in the base of the Republican Party. Because don't forget, the 22% that still support this psychopath in the White House are almost exclusively these Christian Dominionists or Armageddonists, whatever you want to call them. And there is certainly a subset of those people who like to reach into the burlap bag and grab the viper because some obscure verse in the Bible said that, you know, if you have faith in God, you shouldn't be afraid to take up snakes, and which was probably just...
Serpents.
It's probably a throwaway line by some crazed desert-dwelling prophet back, 7,000 years ago. And modern-day Christians interpret it as a direct order that they're supposed to handle snakes and drink poison. And by God, the faith of the Lord will protect them, contrary to the laws of physics in their own human body and the nature of the snake. So, I'm sure Romney... Once he finds out that in the non-Mormon branch of Christianity there is such a thing as the snake-handling contingent, he will probably go for them, and therein might lie our salvation, because he may be inclined to put his hand into the burlap bag.
Oh, yeah. Also, you should, for the boycott on Disney, which I agree with you on that part of it, you have the Southern Baptist Association has a boycott that's been going on now for about 3 or 4 years because of the issue that Disney has 1 day or 2 days during the summer where they allow gay families and gay groups to go into Disney.
Yeah, well, it's not that they allow them on a certain day. You know, anybody can go to Disney anytime they want to.
Oh, at any time, yeah.
But it's kind of a gay days, I don't know. And it's not officially said. The weird part is Disney has not sat down with something called the gay community, of which I don't know who in the hell the leaders, who the leaders be of that? Barney Frank and I don't know. But there's never been a sit-down between Disney and the so-called gay community where they say, okay, on Thursday, August 17th, it'll just be all queers. That never happened. It just so happens that, you know, a lot of gay travel agencies and gay folks just said, hey, let's, you know, bop down to Disney World for a vacation. And all of a sudden that became gay days. Whoa, damn, place is full of queers. God, grab Mickey Mouse before they bugger the little bugger or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're all insane. Charles, the only way to handle this is to realize these people are insane. Then all of a sudden it becomes very easy. Just the same way Keith Olbermann refers to Rush Limbaugh as the comedian Rush Limbaugh. You know, I refer to him as the pig man, and he's a threat to American democracy. Olbermann just dismisses him. I wish I could do that.
I just consider Rush a commodian, not a comedian.
There you go. Thanks, Charles. All right, appreciate you checking in. Gay days. Now, wouldn't it be funny if they had Christian days at Disney theme parks? What, Catherine? Huh?
I thought they did have some sort of Christian Disney something, no?
Yeah, I think your microphone's working.
It's amazing! I've been healed!
You have been healed.
God looked favorably on my microphone.
Frank is calling from... Dandridge, Tennessee. Frank, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing
all right. I just want to tell you, man, listen, I share your feelings completely. I hate these sons of bitches.
Oh, man.
I can't tell you how bad, man, and I don't like feeling like I do.
I know.
I don't know what Bush has got. He's holding something over everybody's head. Like Pete Stark today, I seen him hanging his head, real sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to apologize like a little bitch. I mean, I don't understand it.
Frank, let me stop you just for a second. Don't forget, I know you listen on XM. Don't forget, this program is over-the-air broadcast. There are certain words you can say, but but you have to be cool here because you said the only two. No. I just don't want you to cross that line because then they immediately have to bleep you out. So just be cool. I know on XM and Sirius...
man, it just runs all over me, Mike. How
I know
they want to support this guy when he don't give up nothing. You don't see any of the Republicans apologizing for anything, even Rush Limbaugh.
No, never.
I mean, it just gets on my nerves to see him hanging his head, apologizing. I just don't understand it. It's going to come to the point where people unite. I don't know why it's not happened yet.
Right.
Because this guy has done everything. This administration does everything against the American people. Everything the American people want and stand for, he's done against us. And it seems like just on purpose. I don't know why the American people's not organized and went up there and physically removed them from office. I'm not trying to promote anything, but I'm just simply saying in a third world country, they would never, just like while you were talking about the, they would remove them. They move them. They take it. You're gone. You're out of here.
Yeah. I wonder about that too. Call it ennui, call it, inertia, calling it the fact that most of us have to work all the time, call it we've been lulled into this false sense of impotence by our media. I don't know what it is, but when you see fully grown adult men and women in the U.S. House, in the U.S. Senate, rolling over once again for these Bush people, it shocks me too, Frank. I don't know. I wasn't brought up that way. I wasn't brought up to be, to be some kind of an antagonistic bastard. But I'll tell you what, I was
That's
brought up.
That's what they do, though. That's what they do.
Well, I know.
It's all about intimidation and being a schoolyard bully. That's all Bush and Cheney are, the schoolyard bullies. And what they need somebody just to knock them out. That's what they need.
All right, Frank, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Schoolyard bully is a good analogy because all schoolyard bullies are cowards. And if ever we had a president, vice president who are cowardly, it's these two. Unbelievably cowardly. But, I was trying to say to Frank, I wasn't brought up to be, some kind of a street brawler by any sense of that term. My mother taught me to the contrary, to, walk away from a confrontation, walk away from a fight unless there was a situation where I had to defend myself. I mean, I was taught that by my mother and my grandmother, that there were times when you'd stand and fight, whether it was a physical fight or a fight over ideas or your integrity, your dignity. I still have that with me. Like most of, I'm not unique. Like most of us do, you don't get up in the morning and say, well, I wonder whose ass I'm going to kick today. I mean, that's not you don't do that. But you also don't get up every morning saying, I wonder who's going to kick my ass today. You it's kind of like neutral. It's just like, oh, I think about that trash. And then when you see people so intimidated that it doesn't compute to what you would do. Or what I would do. And I know damn good and well that I would not back down in that kind of a situation. And you also know that you wouldn't. You know you wouldn't. So it because you're a progressive or a liberal or a Democrat or a decent human being, you're not a Republican, a coward, a liar, a cheat, a sneak, a conservative, a Bush dittohead, or a Limbaugh dittohead. You're the exact opposite of that. And so am I. So that's why it's so difficult to see, either collectively or individually, Democrats just keep rolling over and exposing their backside and saying, may I have another one, sir? A spanking. And what did you think I meant? Oh, you evil people. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Now don't keep saying that it's all right. It's all right. It seems you went just a little too far this time. Bang, bang, bang! And down you go. It's just a job I do. The harder you run, the harder you fall. I'm coming down hard on you. And before the hour, thanks to Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Chris in Minnesota, Catherine Bay, the crew that puts this program together every night. Thanks for tonight, guys and girls. It's 10 before the hour. Jack writes, Mike, during your last break, the AP News reporter stated that Bush was supposed to head to a campaign stop, but instead has chosen to go to California to, quote, comfort, end quote, the people. Comfort? What's he going to do? Offer these people one of the formaldehyde-laden FEMA trailers? And this is from Naked Agenda. Okay. California wildfire conspiracy rebuttal. In the subject line, Mike, my comment on the wildfire conspiracy, looking at satellite images of the fires, it appears there are also fires blazing in Baja, Mexico, quite a distance south from the border. I'm not saying that arson hasn't contributed to the intensity of the Southern California blazes, but gives an example of the susceptibility of the local environment to natural wildfires. No, I completely agree that, you know, not to back down from what I said. I said the thought flooded into my mind when I started seeing these network news animations of where the fires were located and the astonishing number of fires all over Southern California. And I said my inclination is to immediately see a conspiracy. Immediately to see lies and deception on the part of the Bush crime family, that they, in fact, set the fires. And I tried to follow that up, everybody, with kind of a self-critical commentary that that's how sick I've become from living under Bush for 7 years. But the only rational part of my looking for a conspiracy about forest fires is the fact that the sons of bitches formed a conspiracy to lie us into a war. What is worse, a war or forest fires? They're both tragedies, but one is absolutely and unequivocally a conscious act. Let's go invade a country that's done nothing to us, but let's construct an entire tapestry of lies in order to get the American people so terrified of what happens if we don't go into war that they will not resist. So it's based on that. I'll have to look at my Google. What do we have, Kathy? Google satellite? Google Earth. When the program's over tonight, I'll definitely take a look at that. And that's where our group that went on the cruise just was. We cruised parallel to Baja. Looking at these pictures, it's just, you know, the video, it's just so, I don't know the right word without sounding kind of patronizing, and that's not my intent, but it's so sad. I'll just say it. Looking at the video of Southern California and San Diego, it's so sad to see this, to see the bewilderment once again of people who are caught into a situation. The race of these people is decidedly different from the race of the victims in New Orleans. And I have to say that because every piece of video I have seen so far about the fires in Southern California, the screen has been filled with white faces. Every single piece of video I saw from Katrina, the screen was filled with black faces. The economic disparity between the people in New Orleans, the people in Southern California, is astonishing. So, and the response is different. Have you noticed that? But this is something we all understand in this country. If we don't, we're damn fools. There is more value placed on white life than on non-white life. I'm sorry, you know that. My sitting here saying it doesn't all of a sudden develop that theory. We know that's the case. There is a higher premium placed on white folks' lives than there is on black folks' lives. That's just a reality. Now, there are other factors involved. I understand. But it's still, it is so sad to see people, whether they're black or white, upper middle class or barely holding on, just kind of standing there or floating there. In the case of New Orleans, not knowing what the hell to do, where do I go, as their entire life is being subsumed by floods, by fire, by windstorms, by rain, by government inaction, or just government disinterest?
Oh, well, everybody's supposed to take care of themselves.
No, we're not. No, we're not. We're not supposed to take care of ourselves exclusively. We're supposed to work as a community. And we all know this. It starts in the neighborhood and then goes to the village or the township or the county or the city or the state or whatever. But we're supposed to start as a community. And to see this suffering again, you know, a lot of cynics will say, well, how much are you going to suffer when your $6 million house burns down and you can certainly get it replaced and, you know, you're living where you shouldn't live anyway. I mean, what the hell does that mean? When you do hear that, and I've been hearing it now, I've been going to some of the blog sites, that's insane. That's insane to say that. You know, to lose your anchor, whether it's a shotgun house in the lower ninth or some multi-million dollar hillside mansion in San Diego, it doesn't make any difference. If they disappear, there goes your life. The external, everything that represents your life, let's put it that way. Of course you're not dead, although you may feel that way. But to see this, see these images again, you know, of people who are just don't know exactly what to do. Oh, I stand over here. Is this where I get the water? Okay, there's a tent coming. Can I have that cot? Is this where I take my mom? My kid needs her asthma medicine. Right? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.